going from sort of a newsletter to a media company. I imagine if we sort of just talk a little bit about those, the early brand partnerships, there was a point I remember as a consumer where all of a sudden you saw these reasonably large brands appearing at the top of the newsletter saying, you know, supported by, brought to you by. And, you know, what was that like to try and pitch to these very large brands who have never seen something like this before? Come and put your logo to give, I guess, authority to what we're doing here, but also to help fund what was going on. What was that conversation like in the early days? Because I imagine it became a lot easier to have that conversation after maybe, you know, 1 or 2 years where the traction, and you can see the curve of growth happening for the newsletter and people consuming, because I imagine the open rates on these emails were probably pretty high as well.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I want to be clear that while everybody's kind of a seller in those early days when the team is like 7 people strong, I was mostly focused on the writing and on the content. But I think that the people who were doing the selling understood that what Morning Brew was at its core was something that was just really good content. You know, they respected the fact that we as a writing team took a lot of painstaking care and every single line that went out in that email. And they did a wonderful job of communicating that to partners. You know, in as, you know, honestly, as early as I can remember from my time at Morning Brew, we were included oftentimes, we as the content team and the editorial team were included in those conversations about what big brands we wanted to work with. We were all having big brainstorms about what, you know, now we kind of have like integrated marketing might be the label we would put on it, but how do we want to present ourselves to this giant company? You know, what can Morning Brew mean to Fidelity, which was a huge leap and one that ultimately worked out. But we had a lot of conversations about the storytelling that we wanted to do when we approached brands. We had a lot of conversations about what we could do that felt different. You know, there was a barrier, I think, in getting a bigger or more traditional kind of brand to trust something like an email newsletter, which, you know, now seems like second nature, but in 2017, 2018 was new and novel and different, right, and something that didn't have a lot of statistics to back it up. So we had to kind of get over that barrier of showing that they could trust us, showing that we knew our stuff, that we had a really engaged community and a really engaged audience. And then it was really the differentiator was letting us be creative and kind of letting us run with the big ideas that we had. And that manifested in a lot of different ways. You know, we had really creative ad copy. We had some really great sort of special moments, whether that was a gift guide or a standalone podcast series. And we got to be creative, and it is always something that I have valued in partnerships, when you can find that partner who says, I trust you, you know your audience better than anybody. As long as we hit point A, point B, point C, do your thing. And that's really what we're targeting today with the work I'm doing now. You know, it's we want partners like that. And I think having that early experience of Morning Brew, seeing that up close and personal, was just, you know, really, really instrumental in my approach to what partnerships could really mean.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, we talk about the idea of collapsing the time to trust. So, you know, whenever there is a starting point, you know, essentially there's 2 or 3 people in a room, which, you know, who don't know each other at all. And you come at this with best intentions. And we're hoping that that best intentions plus a track record means something can happen in the future. Were there things that you and the team were doing to try and collapse that time to trust, particularly in the early days of some of those bigger partnerships, to try and convince those bigger brands that, you know, we are worth dealing with? It's evidenced in the copy that we're putting out every day and the tempo we're keeping. But were there other things you had to think about to try and get them over the line?
So, you know, definitely having a strong open rate and having a highly engaged audience is huge. And that's kind of what gets your foot in the door. But I think at Morning Brew, we really fell back and allowed ourselves to fall back on the fact that we knew our audience so well. Like, we knew in and out what they were doing every day, what their behavior was like. We spoke to them directly. You know, we had, and for many, many years, we had something in the welcome email that was like, hit respond and answer. I forget what the question was, but Neil, who's now the managing editor, Neil and I would respond to every single person. And that would sometimes be 1,000 people a day who subscribed. And we would respond personally to every single person who hit respond to that welcome email. And so we had that relationship and we had built that trust with our readers. And so we could then take that to the partner and say, we promise, we know them. We know that they like this, this, and this. We know that they get this joke and they don't get this one. we can be good stewards of your brand in a way that will resonate with our audience. And that resonance is really, I think, what they were after more than anything. You know, it was not necessarily just click-throughs or not necessarily just a brand awareness thing. They just wanted to resonate. They really wanted to speak to people in a language that they understood. And I think Morning Brew has and continues to really nail that and to know that audience so well, to know the role that you play in their daily routine. And it's been, you know, really valuable. And again, another lesson that we've taken from that time at Morning Brew into the work that we're doing today.
So that's a great pivot point then. So, you know, we have heard in the research we've done ahead of this episode, we heard a lot about what you talk about around community and trying to build out this idea that a successful brand has to have an element, a pretty strong element of community, so that the messages going out to that community can not only be received, but they can also be digested, thrown around, you know, built on, and it just helps build a level of authenticity in a brand. Why do you think that is so important for brands today, given that there are a lot of brands, there's a lot of attention splitting, there's a lot of stuff in the world that, and most of it is not great news. So, you know, what is it about community that you think is so important to your thesis?
So, you know, trying to speak to the internet, capital I internet as a whole, is like drinking through a fire hose, right? Like it's impossible. You're never going to get to the right audience if your audience, your total addressable market is 8 billion people, right? So what we have really leaned into and what we feel really confident in the future of is that more specific niche media. That niche can manifest in a lot of different ways. It can be, you know, personal finance or STEM or AI. Those are a lot of niches that we operate extensively in. It can be the creator economy. It's a newsletter that we operate. You know, there's a lot of different ways that we, as consumers of media, as people who are on the internet, as people who look at TikTok or Instagram or open their email, there's a lot of different ways that we can say, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. This is what I want to participate in and be affiliated with. I think that idea of community is really, really valuable, because if you don't have it, you know, the internet is way too vast and way too broad for consumers to even get their arms around, let alone the partners who are trying to reach the right person to then get them to follow XYZ steps to move through the pipeline. So what we really love is narrowing that focus, narrowing that aperture, and saying, I am Kinsey. I am a reader of this newsletter because I care about this. And you know, it could be my job, for example, is a great way that we have found to kind of niche down. So that specificity is something that just makes it all more palatable and makes the internet more consumable. But it also allows advertisers and partners to get that more specific approach to finding the right person for their product. Whether that's a B2C or a B2B brand, I think that in either case, having a specific idea of who your customer is and saying, you know, I want to speak to a 29-year-old woman who works in media and lives in New York. Like, there's an app for that, right? Like there's a newsletter, there's a podcast, there's something for that. And if you can find what that piece of media is and to have a direct relationship with them, your chances of convincing that 29-year-old person who works in media and lives in New York to like your product, to know who you are, to talk about you at dinner that night, just increase, you know, exponentially. So that's really why community is so important to us, both from the consumer perspective and from the partner perspective.